Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 15th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have as we back the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. So much to cover, so little time. Last Saturday with Chris Carlson, 2 days ago, we talked about shame. Donald Trump praises CNN for giving him town hall opportunity. Yeah, he used to trust CNN. Now he's all buddies with CNN as he goes head-to-head with Fox. There's always a enemy. There's always a good guy. There's always the Hegelian dialectic that they play off of one another. I think Fox and CNN are both criminal enterprises. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. But now Donald loves CNN, praising them, saying they did a great job. He's kind of mocking them in a backhanded way. But remember, Donald said he would end CNN, not by force, but by their lack of ratings. Well, now he gave them the greatest ratings boost ever, although the claim is that they gave him the greatest rating boosts ever. The truth is they're all in bed together and benefiting each other big time, and the proof is in the pudding. We talked about this whacked out Republican presidential candidate. What's this guy's name? Vivek Ramaswamy, I think is how you say his name. Anyway, he wants to change election law. Yeah, he wants to raise the voting age to 25 years old. Yeah, he mentioned the idea recently while speaking to a crowd in Iowa. It's just crazy. Anyway, there you have that. Dr. Bradley's with me, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thanks, Sam. You always throw these things out, and I'm going to just comment briefly on one thing, give you an anniversary date today, and then we can go on. I know you've probably got plenty to talk about.
All right, so hold on. First comment on this whacked out idea of delaying till you're 25 to be able to vote.
Oh, comment. Oh, you want me to? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, the 26th Amendment. What's he going to do with that? I mean, I was in the service when it got ratified, and so I didn't have a whole bunch of the hoopla to do with anything. I mean, I was already old enough to be in the military and all that kind of good stuff, and so they decided 18-year-olds could vote. But I wonder if he's ever read the 26th Amendment or any of the Constitution, for crying out loud. I mean, that says specifically 18 years of age. I just wonder what people think. They're going to have to, you know, just like with the prohibition was the 18th Amendment, and the 21st Amendment had to be ratified to be able to get rid of that particular thing. But holy cow, I mean, we got some of the darndest things that people think are absolutely important. But just a little comment on an anniversary. Today is the third anniversary of when Donald Trump announced Operation Warp Speed, an absolutely socialistic, welfare state-ish, fascist usurpation of so many things. We don't have time to talk about it. But on December, I think 14th, it was the middle of December in 2020, they brought forth a complete facade of a so-called vaccine. A few days later, well, Pfizer did that one. A few days later, I think Moderna did theirs. But the point of the matter is, I'm just waiting for somebody to file a lawsuit against somebody for saying it's unsafe, ineffective, and not cost-effective. And if they file a lawsuit, man, it wouldn't be cool if we had a whole big trial about this where they were able to say, well, let's expose your test data. Let's look at your live test data that you did in this brief span that you were bringing forth this facade that is neither safe nor effective nor cost-effective. And if we could bring that forth in a big lawsuit, make public all of this stuff, I mean, yeah, I know there's public data that's coming, it's dribbling out about the stuff that they found, how unsafe and ineffective it was. and almost every layperson in the world now knows how unsafe and ineffective it is. But the big people are still pushing it. I still, as I drive down the freeways to go out and do speaking events and stuff like that, I see big billboards that say you got to get jabbed, you know. And I just am shocked. See, back 3 years ago, they shut you down if you said something like I just said. I mean, there wasn't any narration that needed to be debated. There was they had a script, and if you varied from the script at all, and a lot of it I think was led by sponsors that the big media had, you know, whether it was the big, you know, TV outlets or the people that had big footprints in, you know, Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and Yahoo, and I don't know all of the media people, because honestly I don't pay much attention to them, but the fact of the matter is they shut you down. And of course that's what they did to me. I had over 1,500 videos on Yahoo, and they completely shut me down. No boo-hi or howdy, just expunged everything. But see, back in the day, 3 years ago, and up through until fairly recently, you said something like we're talking, like, or I'm talking right now. There wasn't, follow the science thing. It was just shut them down. And now that there's not being shut down, there's discussions, which we've been saying for more than 3 years. You know, every time we get together on your radio program 3+ years ago, we'd say these things. But you try and do it on a major media or some kind of a social media kind of thing, and it was just, there was no discussion. And now the science, earlier today I was reading some scientific research that had been done on it. And death by all causes and everything, they go back and they look at all sorts of statistics. It basically didn't happen. This three-year-old goal thing did not. I mean, yeah, they developed a warp speed vaccine. We can't get away from that, and we're having trouble because you can't get away from it either. Once you've had it, it seems almost irreparable. All of the autoimmune and the fertility things and the strokes and the heart attacks and I saw a study the other day where they're finding
the itchy skin and the brain fog. Well, I mean, the symptoms never end for many, many people.
Blindness. You know, you go, blindness? What are you talking about? Well, they found that the blood clots are for some reason, and like we could just talk about why we might want to attribute that, blood clots seem to be more prevalent in the eyes now. And they say that's contributing to blindness. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And how this facade was boosted all across the world. The United States president stood front and center, standing tall, saying he was going to use the U.S. military to deliver this miraculous godsend to this nation. It's like, holy cow, you're going to have a squad of soldiers show up on your front porch and bust into your home with battering ram and hold you down and give you a shot on the floor of your living room? I mean, what's going to happen? We didn't know. But that's the stuff Donald Trump and his cronies were talking about. And, of course, Joe Biden, he picked right up on it. He's like, he got the baton passed to him, and he ran forward with it as soon as he got elected. Kind of, sort of, maybe said anyway. Anyway, come 2021.
Yeah, it all depends on how you define elected there. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is shame. Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed in review. And the saddest part about it, Doctor, is it's one thing to make a mistake and push for that and do that like Donald did. It's another thing after the facts all come out to just hold on to it like death grip. Donald's still running around praising the vaccines, praising Warp Speed, praising the job he did on that, and he's been discredited till the cows come home. The truth is out. Everybody knows it's a lie. People are sick everywhere. It's just disaster on steroids. There were many other options that we highlighted. Natural health and healing solutions, allowing people to have oxygen at home, jettisoning remdesivir, the satanic drug that was in combined, creating the death kill for folks. Where are all the ventilators that Donald forced everyone everyone to pay for and forced people in the private sector to build. You know, we're all in debt over that. And where are those ventilators? And the truth is, you just could have had oxygen for people instead of it being a controlled, quote, substance. You could have had solutions like ivermectin and many other, you know, zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C and natural health and rest and healing and replacing people's electrolytes and getting people hydrated again so they had a second chance. You could, you know, you could do a lot of that stuff. There's so many options for saving people's lives that were flat out ignored, but Donald still doubles down in this lie. And well, you know, the problem is he's been exposed and discredited, Doctor.
They're going to hang it around his neck. I think as more truth comes out, if he's in the 2024 election cycle, which it sounds like he is, if he's in that cycle and the truth gets more and more understood, I think that somebody's going to come out and say, the heck you say? You're the guy that caused this whole problem with your warp speed, with your all your efforts in this jab, and I think it's going to become kind of an albatross
millstone. Yeah, Kennedy Jr. is most likely going to be the one to double down and state that kind of stuff in the debates. Time will tell, but that'll certainly be
if they let him in. I don't think Donald or Joe are going to debate anybody in the primary, and maybe neither one of each other. You know what happened to openness and letting the people measure and weigh themselves. You know, what happened to the Nixon-Kennedy and the Lincoln-Douglas debates? I mean, none of this stuff is going to happen now. It's
Roger
so
that. When we get back, ladies and gentlemen, Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson team up for the global satanic agenda. Is this the end of Twitter? Well, it certainly is the end. It's the beginning of the end of truth-telling on Twitter, that's for sure. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Twitter users are mourning the death of the platform called Twitter. Hashtag number rip Twitter seemed to be trending. The feed was filled with posts and videos and everything else talking about Elon Musk's newly appointed CEO, Linda Yaccarino. She is crazy. She is an advertising guru. She was the head of advertising and what they call partnerships at NBC Universal. She's also a forum executive chair at the World Economic Forum, ladies and gentlemen. So Elon Musk proving his real association. Bottom line is this guy really is a socialist. He's an avowed socialist. And I'm really worried about the socialist and the communist agenda in America, folks, as we have the worldwide persecution of Christians happening left and right. Okay? This is serious. Satanic lies from the pit of hell. You know, there you have it. We're just seeing this craziness everywhere. But now you got Twitter, which really, in my opinion, has now been destroyed. Its takeover is complete. Elon Musk sounded like the freedom fighter. We warned you that he probably was not. We doubted it. And now we see the evidence, the proof in the pudding. He puts a mainstream press gal, a World Economic Forum lady, in charge of the whole platform, doctor.
Well, I mean, what did you expect? No, I know you didn't, Sam. You didn't doubt it for a moment.
Yeah, we warned everybody about it. Everybody was all excited about this change, and oh man, this is great news. And we told you, no, look, this guy's a socialist. Okay, Elon Musk is a socialist. Most of his money's been made from leveraging government funding against we the people. Okay, he's got rich and sunk and swam and all these failures and successes and all with our government dollars primarily. Everything he's involved in has a huge government investment. It's almost fascism / socialism combined in his case. But now we see his true colors.
Well, fascism is socialism. It's just a different flavor of the poison from Marxism. I mean, all of these different things are just economic systems based upon tyranny. But the thing is with Elon Musk, people, they're always looking for a savior. We got one. We've really got a savior. We really do. We don't have to worship at the altar of the Musk altar or the COVID altar or the physicians or pharma companies and politicians. Washington, D.C. is not going to save us. What we have here is the antithesis of what salvation really is. Government is really supposed to be a very small thing in our lives. Government is not supposed to go out and pick winners and losers. Government is not supposed to help fund guys like Elon Musk. He's always been the guy that whatever he did, it had a monetary value in his mind. I mean, he was not doing this thing. I mean, well, yeah, he says free speech, everybody, you know, kind of thing. The point of the matter really is that if he can capitalize on it, and I do mean capitalize, crony capitalism and all that kind of good stuff, if he can capitalize on it and make a few bucks and a whole bunch of bucks in many instances, he'll do it. But the idea that the baseline principles of what really is important as I don't even know if it's ever been given a place in his heart. I mean, you look at the profligate kind of world things. Who knows how many kids he's got? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe he doesn't know. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we got to quit looking for. It's like I. It's.
There's
it's
only
like
one savior, people.
You're right. And my I had a friend, a good friend, while I was in the service. He had been married and divorced 5 times, and I always told him, I'd say, Doran, you know, what's the common factor in this thing? You know, I mean, I've been picking bad women. I said, Doran, you're looking in the wrong places for the woman of your dreams. You're apparently not finding her, but you're the common factor, and you got to fix that, you know. And so we'd have these kind of discussions. We were good enough friends to have these kind of discussions. But I think we're looking for saviors in the wrong places in America now.
Yeah, they got a country song about that, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Well, and that's what we seem to do in America, hoping for a quick fix, a 30-minute TV show episode solution to the problems we face. And it doesn't work that way, people. It just does not work that way. There's a big fear among business leaders now, and the White House economic advisor claims the biggest fear among U.S. business leaders is, quote, catastrophic debt default. Is that your biggest fear, doctor?
Oh, man, I'm keeping up at night. No, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Anyway, you got to be scared about something, Sam. I mean, come on. And oh, he did awful. I forgot about
Why?
That one. I'm going to have a heart attack this afternoon because of that, you know. I mean, we must fear. We must doubt. And you know what? I once did a kind of a survey of the scriptures on how often the term in one, you know, format or another, fear not. It's a commandment. It is a commandment from God. And I, you know, if you gave me half a second here, I could come up with some, but we don't need to.
Well, and let's be clear about this for a second. When we say, you know what, fear not, the Lord's saying there's no reason to fear, but there's conditions to that, doctor.
Well,
you fear not if you're keeping the commandments of God. You fear not if you recognize God as the ultimate authority, not government or not the arm of flesh or man or whatever. If you do anything else, you will fear. That's the nature of your precarious position, right?
There's no question about it. And you know, it's kind of like, say, thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill. Fear not is one of those commandments. It's not one of the ten. Okay, I got that. But the fact of the matter is that we live in a fear-based society, and that's exactly what happened with the facade that was we're just talking about what happened 3 years ago. Oh, golly, we're all going to die. Well, the death by all causes was actually lower in 2020 than it had been in previous years. And you look over the whole, they blamed everything on COVID, of course. I mean, everything, you come in on a, you know, you got scraped off the road because of a motorcycle accident, and by golly, he had COVID. Yeah, we swabbed his nose and he had COVID. Doesn't matter. They had massive brain trauma, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they picked out a plate in the sinuses they were able to swab. But, well, it's COVID. I mean, everything. And we feared. We doubt. And you know, now, yeah, we got a big debt. We do. And we're idiots for doing it. We have idiots running this country. But the fact of the matter is, let your hearts be just gladdened by the fact. I mean, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, literally. We should be, I mean, the mountains and the hills and the streams and everything, the rocks, someday are going to cry out with joy because we were unwilling to do that. I mean, remember when the Savior, well, you weren't there. Well, you probably were watching it from your premortal existence. But when the Savior came in to Jerusalem to begin what they call today Passion Week, you know, the week before his crucifixion, and everybody's singing the praises, or waving the palm fronds and everything, and the Sadducees and Pharisees of the day, or their fear-mongers of those days, came to Jesus and said, stop these guys. Have them quit singing this. It's messianic praise. You can't. Y'all, it's blasphemous what they're doing. And Jesus said, hey, if I quieted them, the rocks would cry out. You know, someday I think all creation is going to raise the figurative voice in praise of all the things that have been set forth by our God. And here we are, bunkered up and hunkered down, fearing and doubting every little stinking, we're COVID cowards, we're scared rabbits. I don't know what it is, but the fact of the matter is, one of the commandments is fear not, fear not. We're not supposed to fear. God knows this, and we're supposed to, you know what, we turn it to the right formula though, you know. That's the thing. We've got to turn to the right formula rather than the facade that's out there already. I mean, right now, if you go before the right window in a government office, fill out the right form, hold your mouth just right, and go on bended knee, and maybe you won't actually have to bend your knee, but if you fill out that form, they'll answer your prayer. They will. They give you food stamps. They'll give you some housing chits or something like that to
oh, yes, they'll save your life and protect you. Not. Folks, the truth is, fear not. Put your trust in God Almighty. And you know what? Catastrophic debt default. The United States has already literally created that by putting us $31 trillion in debt. And that's not even the real number. That's just the number they publish. With their unfunded liabilities and commitments and everything else, it's north of $200 trillion. We'll never get ourselves out of it. It's not if we default, it's when and how bad the landing will be. That's all we're discussing, folks. But you know what?
Come back. I just want to give one scripture. I know. Let's not do a scripture chase, but just one scripture on fear.
All right, we'll do it. And then when we come back, I also want to talk about, we've got some things to spend our time to reject. We'll tell you about that in a second, because really it's God versus godless. That's the battle, right? You're in the middle. Where do you stand, huh? Dr. Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden and the First Lady arrive in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this morning. An itinerary was not announced for the day trip. In the past, I-95 has closed down for presidential visits, so that's a possibility today. Expect extra congestion on 95 and the 676. Chicago mayor-elect, 47-year-old Brandon Johnson, will take office today. Facing a surge of illegal immigrants in need of shelter, Johnson is also facing pressure to build support among skeptical business leaders and summer months that historically bring a spike in violent crime to the Windy City. Spokesman Ronnie Reese said in a statement, Mayor-elect Johnson's top priority remains building a better, stronger, and safer Chicago where all residents can live and work free from the threat of violence. End quote. Talks will resume this week aimed at keeping the United States from defaulting.
President Biden is planning to meet with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other congressional leaders tomorrow. Despite a June 1st deadline to raise the nation's debt limit approaching, Biden maintains a glass-half-full attitude.
I remain optimistic because I'm a congenital optimist, but I really think there's a desire on their part as well as ours to reach agreement. I think we'll be able to do it.
The White House held the first round of discussions last week. Economists warned that a default could cause a global financial crisis. Biden, though, has said that a default is not an option. I'm Jerry Barmash.
Newly announced Twitter CEO Linda Yaccarino is giving thanks to Elon Musk. Yaccarino tweeted she has long been inspired by Musk's vision to create a brighter future, adding that she was excited to build Twitter 2.0. Musk announced last week that the former NBC Universal Chair of Global Advertising and Partnerships would take over for him as CEO, while Musk transitioned to Executive Chair and Chief Technology Officer. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Okay, we're back, and Sam was gracious enough to say I could read one scripture before we start into the next segment. And so he tossed it over to me and says, okay, start there. And I, you know what? I'm so eclectic, and I can't let go of things sometimes. And so just one quick comment before I read the scripture, then I'll say, Sam, it's all yours. Do whatever you want with it. But I couldn't let this one pass. Or in the news segment, you heard that Brandon Johnson is now the mayor of Chicago. Took over from Lori. He's a progressive mayor. He was a union organizer. I mean, this guy is every bit as bad as Lori, I'm sure. But just one little slight comment. Maybe, I can't imagine somebody named Brandon got elected after the Let's Go Brandon cheer, okay? It just seems it's almost poetic to me. The fact that here we have another new, Brandon raised his shiny, ugly head to the, anyway, okay. I just couldn't let that pass. Anyway, okay, that's a terrible segue. To a scripture. Terrible. Absolutely. I'll probably have to repent of that later on in the day. But at any rate, let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 for just a second. The first verse, if you got your scriptures, you should always have your scriptures by your radio when you're listening. At any rate, Isaiah, what an incredible prophet. Most quoted prophet by the Savior during mortality. I mean, this guy, he had something to say about a lot. He spoke messianically. He spoke for the people of his day, and he spoke with a prophetic view of the future. I'm absolutely
one of the
convinced.
Ultimate truth tellers for sure.
Absolutely. He spoke wisdom to us today. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, and then Sam, it's yours. Right, you run with it, I'll try and keep up. Okay, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. Now, there's so much embedded in this thing. Our Creator speaking. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. It's a commandment. It's a directive. It's an imperative. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. Of course, speaking of himself, God. Okay, I redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. He knows us. He knows Sam Bushman's name, and he knows your name. He knows you not just by your name. He knows you better than you know you, and anybody knows you. I mean, I say my wife knows me better than anybody on earth, but God knows me better than anybody else, okay? I called thee by name. Thou art mine. He has chosen us. He has put his arms around us. He has set us forth on a mission here on this earth. So we're told to not fear. We are told that he's saving us. We are told that he has called us, and we're his. I mean, this is kind of an all-inclusive package that we got going here. And so this idea of unremitting fear, doubt, they push us back underneath the water. They push us back into a bunker, into a rabbit hole, whatever it is, to take control of a great gift God gave us, and that's our lives. And I just find it absolutely appalling that we fall for it every single stinking time they do it. So if we ever fall for this, what was going on 3 years ago when Operation Warp Speed came forward, for crying out loud, what a disaster that has been. There is no salvation in what they're bringing forth, and we do have a real Savior. Anyway, Sam, I sometimes, like I say, I get so eclectic, I hate to let go of things.
Well, and there's things that we can do to make a difference. We ought not fear. There's no question we should put our trust in God Almighty. But we should also search for good, honest, wise people to serve us. Many would say lead us, but I say serve us. And one of the people that is leading now in a very bad way that we need to make sure you're aware of is former AOC. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. A former aide of hers, her name is Justine Medina, is now working as New York Communist Party boss. New York Post with the details on this thing. Justine Medina is a, quote, radical left activist, a self-described Marxist, Leninist, and member of the Communist Party of New York. All right? This is serious, folks. How we can allow people like this in the revolving door from the Communist Party. You know, I remember when I first got into radio, they documented that over 58 members of Congress were literally Communist Party tied to the Communist Party USA, et cetera, et cetera. And when you put socialism and communism and fascism and all these isms in place, all those roads lead to a godless hell, folks. But most people are not aware of that. They talk good, they look good, they smell good, supposedly. But they're a wolf in sheep's clothing, doctor, and this is no different. AOC, we gave her a foothold. Now she's in Congress. But even the people that surround her in the Communist Party, and we have evidence of this, we need to be wise and reject these people in leadership positions, doctor.
Well, you look at Barack Obama. You know, he was a community organizer. You look at the origins of that. I mean, it was to seize power by the... It was basically a Marxist philosophy being promoted at the lowest levels of government among the neighborhoods, if you will. And he was able to hold on to that one long enough to get him basically a free pass into the presidency. And he'll maybe get another one if Michelle runs for president and wins. I mean, he had 8 years. She'll get 8 years. I mean, he had 4 years with Brandon. I mean, come on. I mean, come on. This is they start organizing at the lowest levels, and they get a kind of a pass along the way as they pass all of the credentials along and everything like that. They get proved in the crucible of do we toe the party line? Yeah, it's a party line. It's called the Communist Party. And this mayoral candidate, I mean, I'd just love to do a deep dive on his union activism and what brought him to the surface, if such a thing exists in Chicago. You know, stuff floats. You can fill in how you want to call that. But Lori Lightfoot, I mean, come on. Where do these creatures come from? And the people in Chicago keep electing them, and it's like, my heavens, what a dreary, unpleasing kind of thing is going on. You know, Chicago, I've spent quite a bit of time in Chicago. It's got some really cool things. I mean, there's some baseball teams there, if you can believe it. I mean, they got all sorts of museums and natural history things, and it's got an amazing history, an American history. But what have we done to that city in terms of its politics? It's astounding to me.
Well, the same thing that we've done in all inner cities. The bigger the city, the more liberal-leaning it is, the more corruption, the more crime, the more dishonesty, the more immorality we seem to see. To make the point, it's getting worse, because not only do you have this leftist activist, Justina Medina and AOC and all these people, but now the North Carolina governor, a guy named Roy Cooper, he vetoed pro-life legislation in front of a huge crowd on Saturday. And it looks like the North Carolina legislature passed, they call it Senate Bill 20, and it would have restricted abortions to 12 weeks. But the Democratic governor, who is known to support abortion rights, vocally spoke out in opposition to the bill. It's called the Care for Women, Children, and Families Act. He spoke out against it on Twitter before vetoing the bill publicly. Well, the state currently limits abortions up to 20 weeks. That happened after it went into automatic effect after Roe versus Wade was overturned last year. But now they say the North Carolina's super Republican majority could potentially make the bill veto-proof, except for the governor's website noted that there are four Republicans who won't go along. So since they backed campaign efforts to stand with abortion, the Democrats, as always, will win because the Republicans shoot themselves in the foot with enemies within their ranks. Doctor?
Well, I mean, come on. Think about it for a minute. In Utah, our home state, you put an R behind your name to get elected. You just know, in order, in virtually every, you know, district or wherever, in this state, you have to have an R behind your name. You look at our congressional delegation, four members of the House, they lined up so fast behind Kevin McCarthy. I mean, it was whiplash time. And so, yeah, but, you know, this abortion thing, maybe we've worn it out, but the chemical abortion methodologies are going to make the abortion clinics obsolete.
You're right about that, and abortion will continue with reckless abandon in America, offending God Almighty. I'm not fearful, but I am concerned on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs. I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about this North Carolina governor literally shuts down the Senate bill 20, which would have restricted abortions in the great state of North Carolina. They have a super Republican majority there. But you know what? Four Republicans are promoting abortion on the campaign trail. Therefore, they don't probably won't get it done. You got a few people at the helm in America that are controlling the reality. And sadly, Dr. Bradley's right. You know what? Abortion clinics don't matter too much because they're just going to ship abortion pills across the nation, even in states that have outlawed abortion. And they're literally going to create chemical abortion. It's going to eclipse the number of abortions that have happened in clinics. Okay, because you can do it in the privacy of your own home. You just get what a brown envelope or a tiny brown whatever labelless box to your door or whatever that's got the murder drug in it and everything else. And they're taking this to the next level. And conservatives, I appreciate that we want to stop abortions and I support that, but they're not looking at the whole discussion point. They're like, wow, glad we won Roe versus Wade last year. Thank heavens it's overturned. Now let's battle it in the states. But what we're missing is this chemical abortion plan. Literally, it murders babies with just the swallowing of some medication. It makes the girl sick, but if she stays at home, doesn't tell anybody, you know, rarely does she die. I don't want to say it's safer because there's nothing safe about murdering babies. But it potentially has less scrutiny, if you will, and it's rolling out big time in America as we speak, Doctor, pretty much without any focus on it.
You know, this stuff has been around for centuries. I mean, these poisons that they have, and if you can imagine, you kill your baby, well, what is it doing to you? Well, not just spiritually, but there's a physical price to be paid, it would seem to me. But let's go back to 1765, when Volume 1 of Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law came out in England, imported immediately to the United States. In Volume 1 of the original of commentaries, on page 125 going over to 126, won't quote the whole segment, but Blackstone says the right of personal security, okay, legal and uninterrupted enjoyment of life, limbs, body, health, reputation. Okay, this is interesting. You envision a baby being torn to pieces by abortionists. I mean, they literally do that. Little arms, little legs come. I mean, it's like, holy Hannah. Anyway, okay, so talking about life is a gift of God. He writes about this here in the Founding Fathers read this voraciously. It's an inherent right by nature to every individual. It begins, okay, talks about that. All right. For if a woman is quick with child, and by a potion or otherwise, killeth it in her womb. Okay, by a potion or otherwise. Or if any one beat her, whereby the child dieth in her body, and she has delivered of a dead child. This, though not murder, was by the ancient law. So this is something that's been around for thousands of years, homicide or manslaughter. Okay, so he talks about this. These people, the founding fathers, knew about this death by potion stuff and any of the other nonsense that has been going out there. So then he goes on to talk about a baby in its mother's womb is supposed in law to be born for many purposes. It is capable of having a legacy. So he's saying, look, okay, legally before the law, this child is a living person. And he goes on to explain, you can have a legacy or a surrender of a copyhold estate made to it. It may have a guardian assigned to it and enable it to estate limited to its use and afterwards take it by such limitation as if it were actually born. Okay, so this legal definition of an unborn child as a living child or person was well understood in the days of the American Founding Fathers. And the American Founding Fathers had this as foundational. But you can go back to the scriptures, and you can read scripturally. Of course, they all carried this book around with them, this little black book that was, you know, the Bible, scripture. Anyway, they could read these anytime they wanted, around the campfire, at the fireplace, or, you know, in front of a podium with people in front of you. I mean, they quoted and understood the things that God had revealed. And so today, it's absolutely astonishing to me that idiots in office think that they have the authority to decide that God's law is void. And in reality, it's in full force and effect. And in reality, ultimately and finally, there will be an accounting. And so anyway, Governor of North Carolina, shame on him. Four Republicans that have shame on them.
And shame on the people that allow this to stand, though, Dr. Bradley, because, look, you can get the American people to understand this and say, look, this is unacceptable. We have an overwhelming majority conservative legislative body. You know, how conservative the Republican legislature really is, time will tell. But they're trying on this thing. The majority is with righteousness in this case to say, hey, let's restrict abortion up to 20 weeks. Let's go ahead and, you know what? We can veto-proof this thing by the majority. The people need to stand up, though, and make them pay at the ballot box next election if they go along with this murdering of children or relaxing the law. The people have an ultimate responsibility here. And even though those hands, like Pontius Pilate, will never be clean, even though they wash their hands of it and pretend they don't have anything to do with it, the people ultimately are responsible, but these leaders have a greater responsibility as well. But look, if the people don't call these people to account, it's going to get worse. And this is where I think we've kind of slowly but surely let America fall. We don't have a religious people, therefore they don't look to God. Therefore they don't look to God's commandments and guidance. They don't look for clarity on these moral issues. They just kind of go, oh, yeah, I agree that a woman has a right to whatever. And they don't. People aren't taught critical thinking skills, and people aren't taught, in my opinion, the morality discussion. All moral issues are not equal. There's a hierarchy of morals here that we need to focus on. And people aren't taught these critical skills. They've been raised in the government schools that are communistic and godless. But this is a godly versus godless battle we're talking about, right?
Well, indeed it is. And it's just astonishing to me, absolutely astonishing to me, that anybody has the audacity to think that they have the authority to override God's law. I mean, we could spend, I've just been in Blackstone, okay, and we could go over that. Pages of this, I cover quite a bit of it in my book, To Preserve the Nation. But this natural law kind of thing, the laws of nature, nature's God, that is God. That's what he set forth. And that was what you say, oh, you can't legislate morality. Well, my position is if a law doesn't have a moral basis, it maybe ought to be reexamined. But I hate to kind of... you know, you quote yourself, so that's kind of an audacious thing to do. Here's just a couple of lines out of page 256 in my book. It's of education and freedom. You talk about what's being educated in the education system. Since when students can no longer discern the monumental differences between the ennobling principles of the United States Constitution and the debauched precepts of Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto, it is not difficult to anticipate the erosion of respect for both God's laws and the proper principles of law upon which this nation was founded. When values, attitudes, and beliefs taught in our public schools are the godless philosophies dear to the hearts of the secular humanist, is it difficult to project the destruction of our godly heritage and beliefs? America indeed has a godly heritage that is no longer being taught in our public schools, and the nation sadly is beginning to reap the whirlwind. So it's well, here's just a little bit more. I'm sorry to quote myself. It sounds, like I say, pretty egotistical. When, in accord with the Humanist Manifesto, our schools teach the anatomy and mechanics of reproduction, along with alternative lifestyles and solutions such as abortion to unplanned pregnancies, but refuse to teach morality and the sacred nature of chastity and marital fidelity, can we not project the moral demise of our children and our nation? And that's exactly the boat we're in right now, people. This is not debatable. It's absolutely empirically provable. Yeah, it's astounding to me, just utterly astounding. So let me just, one more quote, Sam. I don't know, we're almost out of time, but here's what Calvin Coolidge said, probably, arguably, the best president of the 20th century. Not perfect, but he pretty good, 30th president. He said, "Our government rests upon religion. It is from that source that we derive our reverence for truth and justice, for equality and liberality, and for the rights of mankind. Unless the people believe in these principles, they cannot believe in our government. There are only two main theories of government in our world. One rests on righteousness and the other on force. One appeals to reason and the other appeals to the sword. One is exemplified in the republic, the other is represented by despotism. The government of a country never gets ahead of the religion of a country. There is no way by which we can substitute the authority of law for the virtue of man. Of course, we endeavor to restrain the vicious and furnish a fair degree of security and protection by legislation and police control, but the real reform which society in these days is seeking will come as a result of our religious convictions, or they will not come at all. Peace, justice, humanity, charity, these cannot be legislated into being. They are the result of divine grace." You know, 100 years ago, people understood this stuff. And today,
well, and even some of our youth understand it now. It turns out that the government mandated a sex survey all across the country in government schools, and the students, tens of thousands of them, had the perfect response. You know what they did, Doctor?
Well, I hope they
flat out refused to take the survey.
Well, there's laws in many states that say if you broach these subjects on children, you've violated the law. I mean, but the fact is that most people don't even have a clue that they should be offended by this, let alone have the protection of law against it. But, yeah, it's right. It's cool. I mean, I'm glad the kids, you know, told them to pound sand, take a hike, a long walk on a short pier, whatever they did. But holy cow, get your kids out of the indoctrination centers. You know, you should love your kids enough. God entrusted you with a great gift with each of those children, for crying out loud. I mean, and you say, "Oh, well, we can reform our school." I am so sick and tired.
Ready for the sad news, Doctor?
What? I don't know.
This wasn't in the United States. This was in Scotland.
Oh, well, the Scottish people, there might be some hope for them. But anyway, I just, you know, maybe William Wallace is being born and bred there again. Who knows? But in the United States, I think about, you know, we've come full circle a little bit. I started off with the COVID vaccine. We were given them in our public schools. I mean, can you imagine jabbing pure, innocent children with the poison that will destroy so much of their lives? Holy cow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the solutions all come from the idea of God, family, and country, in that order. You will not get saviors unless you turn to Jesus Christ, the only real savior of the world. I so testify. The solutions are simple. We've just got to wake up and take notice. Got to get on our knees and pray hard. Got to repent. Then we got to get up and go to work. That's our mandate. That's what we shall do. as we follow the admonition, come follow me, from the only true Savior, the author of our liberty, Jesus Christ. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.